Tuesday, April 1st. The lesson from Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 through 14. In those days, the Lord said to Moses, "Go down from the mountain to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshipping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how stiff-necked this people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should thy wrath blaze up against thine own people, whom thou brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent he brought them out, that he might kill them in the mountains and exterminate them from the face of the earth'? Let thy blazing wrath die down. Relent in punishing your people. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how thou swore to them by thine own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.' So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people." Haydock Commentary. God refers to the Israelites as "thy people," as if to say, "They are not worthy to be styled my people, and thou, Moses, didst ratify the covenant with me in their name and as their interpreter. They have sinned, giving way to idolatry in thought, word, and deed." Moses, at the first intimation of the people's sin, fell prostrate before the Lord to sue for pardon and pleaded the natural weakness of an ungovernable multitude in order to extenuate their fault. This God admits. But while he seems bent on punishing them to try his servant, he encourages him inwardly to pray with fervor. One fully determined on revenge will bear with no expostulation. When St. Gregory and Theodoret look upon this as an incitement to pray more earnestly, seeing God's servants have such influence over him. The mercy of God struggled with his justice and stopped its effects. Moses insinuates that the glory of God is interested not to punish the Hebrews, lest the Gentiles should blaspheme, particularly as the land of Canaan seemed to be promised unconditionally to the posterity of Abraham, who were now all but one to be exterminated. The Gospel from John chapter 7, verses 14 through 31. At that time, when the feast was already half over, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man come by learning, since he has not studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My teaching is not my own, but his who sent me. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is truthful, and there is no injustice in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and none of you observes the law? Why do you seek to put me to death?" The crowd answered and said, "You have a devil. Who seeks to put you to death?" Jesus answered and said to them, "One work I did, and you all wonder. For this reason Moses gave you the circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And on a Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on a Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you indignant with me because I made a whole man well on a Sabbath? Judge not by appearances, but give just judgment." Some, therefore, of the people of Jerusalem were saying, "Is not this the man they seek to kill? And behold, he speaks openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the rulers have really come to know that this is the Christ? Yet we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." Jesus, therefore, while teaching in the temple, cried out and said, "You both know me and know where I am from. Yet I have not come of myself, but he is true who has sent me, whom you do not know. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." They wanted, therefore, to seize him, but no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Many of the people, however, believed in him. Haydock Commentary. Whilst the Jews proceeded no farther than to admire the wisdom of our Savior, when they could easily have seen that what he taught he knew by the power of God, Christ reveals himself to them the source of his wisdom, saying, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." St. Thomas Aquinas informs us that in all the scriptural difficulties he met with, he uniformly had recourse to prayer, and that he acquired greater light and knowledge at the foot of his crucifix than from any books or masters. When Christ says, "My doctrine is not mine," that is, not mine only, but also the Father's, from whom I proceed, and with whom I am always. Christ says to them, "You do not observe the law, otherwise you would learn from that law that I am the Christ, and not seek to put me to death when I appear amongst you. If I cure on the Sabbath day, do you not also give circumcision and also cure the wound on the Sabbath?" When Christ speaks of the one work I have done, he means the healing of the man by the pool who had been ill 38 years, because this healing had scandalized the Jews. When they say, "We know this man whence he is," they looked upon him as no more than a man, and they thought they knew his father to be Saint Joseph, they knew his mother and kindred. The people said, "When the Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is," but doubtless the more learned knew Christ was to be born at Bethlehem. His generation is indeed unknown with regard to his divinity, as Christ himself told the Jews in his answer, "He is true that sent me, but you know him not." But as to his humanity, his origins were well known, whence he says, "You know me, and whence I am, you know."